Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can reach us on the show at Championship Pod on Twitter, and you can also follow my personal Twitter, which is @_JamesVickers.
Hi, yeah, I'm Kevin, editor of League United Mad, Twitter handle League_Mad. You can check me out on there, our Leeds fans, and also League United Mad website, where I provide as much information from the club as I can, legally and illegally, however way it goes.
I'm Ron Miles, I'm the editor of Tyke Mad, www.barnsley-mad.co.uk. You can also find me on Twitter @21Tyke.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. We'll start with you first, Kev, and quite the game yesterday against Millwall. Obviously disappointing from your point of view to lose to sort of a last-minute goal. Talk us through the game and sort of is there any other sort of noteworthy news out of Leeds this week, potential signings or new incomings, anything like that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was obviously an amazing game. First half was... we started off really well, actually. Could have been a couple of goals up in the first sort of 10 minutes, but Lasoga wasn't on his best form in those sort of early minutes. He'd only just got back into the side from making some substitute appearances, so I don't think he was razor sharp in those first few minutes. Otherwise, it would have been a totally different game, because the two chances he had, I think most forwards would have fancied the chances of scoring. So, unfortunately, they weren't taken. We then had Millwall had a goal disallowed. There was a bit of a debate going on because they were celebrating initially. Then the referee went over to the assistant and he said something like, you know, it must have been offside because he stuck his flag up for an offside and it was delayed. So you think would be sort of ready for it after that, but literally inside another minute, they actually took the lead with a legal goal and they went 1-0 up. So it was an absolutely stupid sort of couple of minutes, really, because you think we would have learnt that we would have been 1-0 behind, but we, instead of learning from that, we sort of go behind anyway. So that was absolutely dreadful on our behalf anyway. And a few minutes later, sort of around about the 30th minute or so, Liam Cooper, the captain, gets sent off by the referee. Like I said, there was a bit of a delay on it because there was a bit of a fracas going on the touchline. Both assistants had to sort of watch the game from the seats at the top because they were both sort of sent away from the dugout. So I don't know what went on there, but I think Harris was so incensed by the Cooper challenge that he was just asking for a red card straight away. But a lot of people were saying that the referee was going for a yellow card initially, but with the fracas going on, he delayed it. Then decided to give him a red. So I think it was a bit unfortunate to be sent off. But having said that, he was having such a bad game. You know, it wasn't making much difference anyway with his performance. And then a few minutes later, they went 2-0 up. So going into the half time, we were thinking, well, we better try and keep the score down, I suppose, second half, because there's no way with 10 men that we're going to actually win this game. But lo and behold, first 15, 20 minutes, we scored within the first 30 seconds of the kickoff to make it 2-1. Great finish by Lasoga from a roof cross. Then we equalised. Roof, sort of very scrappy goal on the line, but he got it over the line. Then we took the lead from Lasoga again, and we were thinking to ourselves, God, is this going to be one of the games of the season where we're actually going to win with 10 men in the second half? But we just couldn't hang on with the last sort of 10 minutes. We got a bit leggy towards the end, allowed them to score and equalise. We thought a point's better than nothing with 10 men, and then they get a snatch a winner in injury time. So It could have been the game of the season for us had we won, but at the end of the day, it was a fourth home defeat and Millwall's first away win of the season. So, you know, it was a bad result, really, going into a break for us now, because we don't play now for another sort of 10, 11 days. So, very disappointed the way the game finished, but the guys gave us a lot of pride in the second half by, you know, putting in such a great performance to nearly snatch a victory. So close, but at the end of the day, so far.
Yeah, obviously unlucky. You got right back into it, and then to lose it at the death must be sort of gutting for you. Just sort of looking at Leeds' form, obviously there hasn't been a win in sort of any competition since Boxing Day away at Burton. Is there... Yeah. Sort of an issue there, or is it just a case of being sort of unlucky in games? Sort of looking down, you haven't been on the end of sort of a 2 or 3 nil, or it's all been 1-0s and 0-0s sort of against you. Is it just a case of being unlucky at the moment, or is there sort of an underlying problem that needs addressing?
Well, if we managed to keep 11 men on the field, I think we'd have a better chance of winning these games. But the Birmingham game, which was the first defeat, because we had a great December when we won 5 out of 7 games, Birmingham was a bad defeat. We lost 1-0, but that was towards the end of the game. But we didn't turn up at all for that game. So the alarm bells were starting to ring initially there. But with the Forest game, it was 0-0. It could have gone either way. Forest could have won it. We could have won it. But we were a bit unlucky, I thought, not to win, because Roof hit the crossbar and we had a couple of other decent chances. So there was no alarm bells at the time. But then when we fielded a totally different team against Newport and Saeed's got sent off for spitting, meaning that he missed 6 games, that's when it started turning a bit bad, because obviously we didn't really learn from that, because we played sort of Ipswich next and we had another sending off with O'Kane for a headbutt. If we'd have kept 11 men on against Ipswich, I believe we would have won that game, because we were on top for the most of the half and we played quite well with 10 men in the second half as well. We only lost to a really good goal by then, and to lose 1-0. And of course, Millwall again, we... Cooper being sent off, I think we would have won that game with 11 men as well. But, you know, we're just going through a period where we can't keep 11 people on the pitch for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but things seem to be going against us in that way. But obviously, Saez and O'Kane would deserve sendings off. I think Cooper might have been a bit unlucky yesterday, but there's still plenty to play for the season. Still 18 games to go, 9 home, 9 away. And I think the playoffs are still wide open, really, right down to, 12th, 13th, 14th position. I mean, whoever puts on a good run of games, then they're going to be up there. I mean, if we'd have won our last 2 games, it'd be obviously the ifs and buts of football, we'd be in the playoffs fairly comfortably. And, you know, with 11 men on the pitch, I think we would have got those 6 points. So if we can get a good run of form going again now, starting with Hull away the next game, then, you know, we need to go through what we'd went through in December, try and go 5 or 6 games unbeaten, and then hopefully we'll be back in the chase again.
Yeah, and sort of to move on to Preston now, obviously we had sort of not a disappointing draw. Obviously, you've just mentioned there, Kev, that Millwall are sort of a decent team and shouldn't be overlooked. We had a 1-1 draw down there last weekend, and then we went into the home game against Birmingham City this weekend. 2 points outside the playoffs, looking to obviously no games are easy in the Championship, but looking to beat a struggling team and really sort of cement our place sort of just outside, or if not inside, the playoffs. So to go into the game and put in, I don't think you'd find a Preston fan who disagrees, our worst performance of the season was thoroughly disappointing yesterday. We never really got going. We looked a bit sort of scared on the ball at times. Ben Pearson, who got a little knock against Millwall, so was out of the game yesterday. When he's out the side, we look a completely different team. Sort of the hole in the centre of midfield was glaringly obvious. And I think it was just sort of a bad day at the office for management and players yesterday. Alex Neil came out after the game and said that we were a bit too soft in midfield and we didn't get stuck in enough. And, you know, that's really sort of down to the fact that Pearson's missing. But, you know, you can look at that sort of the other way and say, well, why didn't Neil put someone like John Welsh in, who is that kind of player? Granted, he's getting on a bit now, but he can do that dirty work in midfield, break up play and you know, start off moves. So I think it was just one of those days for us yesterday. Obviously, we took the lead completely against a run of play. Ben Davies getting his first goal for the club. in the Championship, which, you know, delighted for him. He's come through the youth academy. He's had a few loan spells out, but this season he's looked a completely different player and has really sort of made that centre-back partnership with Paul Huntington his own. And it's been sort of testament to how good he's played, the fact that Tom Clark, the club captain, comes back and he's forced to play right back or even on the bench. So he's done fantastically well. The Birmingham goal, though, however, and if sort of anyone listening hasn't seen it yet, I'd urge you to go see it. It's sort of a comedy of errors, really. We sort of defended for that sort of 10-second period like we were sort of an under-12 Sunday league team. The ball was played out to the centre-back, Paul Huntington, who lost it to one of the Birmingham strikers. Chris Maxwell came flying out to try and tackle the Birmingham striker and ended up tackling our covering centre-back. And you got two Birmingham players then who practically walked it into the net. So while I'm disappointed to concede a goal in that manner, you know, Birmingham were fantastic yesterday and didn't let us get going. So credit to them for coming to our place. You know, when they're down at the foot of the table at the moment, not scared to go out and play. And I think if they play like that for the remainder of the season, they should. Or I say should get out of trouble, but yeah, disappointing for us, and we'll hopefully look to put it behind us. I mean, still only 4 points outside the playoffs, so still all to play for. Like you said, who's put a couple of wins together, and you find yourself right back in the mix. So, by no means am I out to sort of hang anyone out to dry and say that people need dropping or drastic changes are needed. You know, we're having a fantastic season so far, and it's sort of yet another sort of disappointing home game, but you know, where we are in the table, can't really complain because we're having a better season than I thought we would when Simon Grayson left during the summer. So as long as we carry on picking up the odd points, you know, they could become invaluable at the end of the season. So we'll see how we go next week. I wanted to talk to you though, Kev. Obviously, we did have Robin at the start. He's just having connection issues at the moment, but we'll sort of move on to the next topic. And I wanted to talk to you a bit about obviously your game yesterday. People saying it's game of the season so far. Obviously, it had more or less everything in: a sending off, last minute winners, a comeback. In your opinion, obviously, being a Leeds fan, I'd imagine it's hard to talk about it as game of the season. But is there a better game than in the division that you've seen this season, or would you rank that one as sort of the clear number one contender?
Well, yeah, for the neutral, yeah, definitely. I'd say it was a fantastic game to watch because it had, like you said, it had everything really. I've never seen a 10-man team sort of play like that in a second half, not for Leeds anyway. I mean, usually when we go down 10 men, that's the end of the game for us. But I've never seen a team come back from 2-0 down to lead 3-2. With 10 men, so that was an amazing feat in itself. Like I said, we didn't have the legs to carry that forward, but I can see why people are saying it is the game of the season. But for me, it would have been the game of the season had we won 3-2. We would have been the game of the last sort of few years, definitely. But you could tell by the reaction of the players at the end when they all sort of just fell to the ground. It's like losing an FA Cup final, really. When you lose, you just sort of think, well, I couldn't give anything more. That's all I could give, and the fans appreciated it. To be fair, they gave him a great reception and a great finale to the game, should I say, by giving them a great applause when they were walking around the pitch, because they gave everything in that second half. It's just a shame that they couldn't have done that in the first half, because we would have beaten them fairly easily with 11 men at least. And yeah, it's just unfortunate that, obviously, like I said before, Millwall hadn't won away all season, so they had a very poor away record. But even though they got a 0-0 at Villa the other week, you know, they can be sort of dogmatic and they're hard to break down at times. But I thought, you know, the way we started the game, it was going to be a fairly easy victory because we have a good record against Millwall at Elland Road. But yeah, I can see why everybody is saying, I mean, it's on the front page of the Mirror today, you know, is this the game of the season apart from Leeds fans? So not for us, maybe. But yeah, I can see for the neutral, they would have loved that because it had everything a football game you'd want to see in a football game, really. Plenty of goals, action, sending off late winners, comebacks, everything. Yeah, it's just unfortunate that we were on the wrong end of the score at the end.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think the only other game really this season that stands out for me in sort of that category is the Sheffield United-Fulham game, which finished 5-4 to Fulham. Obviously, you had Leon Clark and Sessegnon both getting hat-tricks in that game. And sort of I'd say those two games for me at the moment are probably the games of the season. It's been quite a, and if you look at the league table, it's testament to it. It's been quite a tight sort of league this season with not many sort of big score lines in games. Sort of granted Fulham had one against Burton yesterday, but if you look down the table from sort of Cardiff in third down to Ipswich in 12th, you know, only separated by just 11 points, which, you know, any team puts a run together, you know, as we said, they're going to shoot right up into the playoffs. And I think it's been sort of not a cagey league, but a tight league this year. I think the amount of money that's floating around the division now, there's you look down the table and you can make a case for sort of 2/3 of the teams in the division sort of challenging for the playoffs and promotion. So it's definitely made it more exciting and harder to predict this year. So it's going to be sort of fascinating between now and May to see who really does sort of step up and which teams fall away. What I wanted to ask you, though, Kevin, and obviously it'd be good to ask Rob if we can get him back in, is obviously the Barnsley takeover's gone through now. It's not particularly changed their fortunes on field, but obviously Paul Heckenbottom, the manager, will be glad to sort of put all the saga behind him now. I wanted to get sort of, first of all, your thoughts on Barnsley's takeover. How do you sort of see them doing for the remainder of this season? Will they stay up? And then sort of moving forward into the next sort of 1-2 years, how do you sort of see Barnsley progressing as a football club? And do you think potentially they can push to get into the Premier League?
Well, I remember when they were in the Premier League a few years back, and they did quite well for a couple of seasons. But yeah, it's a long way back now, I think, really. But they are 2 points above the relegation zone. It depends, really, if the new ownership throw a bit of money at the club, I suppose, for transfers. And obviously, they've only got a couple of weeks to go now, 3 weeks to go, before they can get any fresh input into the squad this season. But Heckenbottom sort of relied on a lot of loanees over the last couple of years, and he does well with them, to be fair. I mean, Ryan Kent seems to stand out as an outstanding player. He got the Young Player of the Year award last season, even though he was on loan from Liverpool. He went to Germany for a little while. It didn't really work out for him there on loan. So now he's back on loan now with Bristol City. So he's a player that stuck out for me, and I fancied him to come to Leeds, to be fair. But obviously, I don't know if we were in for him or not, but he's obviously decided to go edge his bets a little bit better by going to City, who are actually in the top six, and obviously having a great season in the League Cup as well. So, yeah, I mean, like I said before, Heckenbottom sort of relies on picking out these little gems from these clubs and transforming them into sort of fairly decent players on a regular basis with Barnsley. But like I said before also, if the takeover, well, we've been sort of taken over ourselves, obviously, in the last sort of year or so. It all depends on what the vision they have for that club. You know, do they see them in the Premier League in the next couple of seasons or so? Are they going to throw some money at some players to make a difference at the club? I mean, January is an awkward time anyway, because you don't really get your best players until the summer. So I think they might have to wait a bit longer. The main concern really for them probably would be to keep away from the bottom three, consolidate the position in the league, and maybe try and get some new recruits in the summer and make him into a promotion challenging team next season, which, you know, like I said before, they have been in the Premier League before, so they know what it's all about. But will they do it? It all depends on what ambitions the new ownership have, I suppose, at the end of the day.
Yeah, completely agree with you there in terms of it's sort of down to the owners and the direction they want to take them in. Obviously, Barnsley fans would love them to sort of splash the cash, but, you know, we've seen with teams like Birmingham, for example, that just sort of throwing money at it doesn't particularly sort of add up and sort of bring in success sort of most of the time. So I think they need to be careful, especially this season. I think for them going down would be sort of a huge blow for them, especially with the takeover just going through. So I think first and foremost this year it's about staying in the division, and then it'll be interesting if they do manage to stay up to sort of see them over the summer and on what the strategy is going forward. So I know sort of the new owner's come out and said that he's not going to sort of throw sort of tens of millions at it, but he is going to sort of invest in the squad. So it'll be interesting to see whether he takes the sort of the young player approach, similar to how we've done, you know, getting players who aren't getting a chance in Premier League sort of teams like Man United and Liverpool, for example, and bringing them in on not much money and sort of developing them and sort of building it that way. But it'll certainly be fascinating to see how they do get on over the next sort of 18 months to 2 years. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on. But sort of touching a little bit on the Premier League there, I wanted to sort of get your thoughts, Kev. Obviously, Watford sacked Marco Silva today. Mm. I think speaking to sort of a few of my friends who sort of support teams in the Championship, they were saying that they'd love to have him at their club. He's, you know, a fantastic sort of young manager. Are there any teams in particular in the division that would either be looking to get a new manager in now and would go with Silva, or if you were Marco Silva, which sort of clubs in the division would you look at and think, you know, I'd like a chance there and it's a club I could take forward?
Yeah, it's a funny situation with Silva because he did a great job nearly keeping Hull City up last season. And obviously when Watford came calling, he sort of jumped ship straight away and went with Watford. But funny team, Watford, because they seem to change the head coach now every season. And every season it's worked for them, changing the coach, you know, keeping them in the league. So maybe they're going for that approach again. But I think it went wrong for Silva as soon as I think Everton tried to approach him for their job. They wouldn't allow, Watford wouldn't allow him to speak to Everton. And things started going sort of wrong from then on in for Watford, results-wise. They haven't really won that many games since then. Obviously, they're still in a fairly comfortable position. They're sort of 10th in the league, but they're only sort of 4 points off Southampton, who are 18th. But, you know, the couple of points behind Everton, the team that tried to get him. So, yeah, it's hard to say, really, what other teams. I mean, I don't know if Southampton are going to keep hold of their manager now. It depends on maybe the next couple of results, how they get on. There's sort of talk about him maybe leaving if results go wrong. So maybe Southampton could be a club that might think, oh, well, Silva might do a job for us because he did well. He nearly kept Hull City up last season. I think he just went to the last couple of games, so he nearly did it. Maybe Southampton might look at him. I think nearly everybody else down there. Now, Stoke have just obviously got Lambert in Brighton. I can't see them sacking Houghton. Newcastle, you don't know what they're going to do with Benitez. He could walk anywhere at any time. Huddersfield are fairly comfortable with Wagner. Palace, obviously, have got Hodgson. So there's not many other clubs there that I think would take him on at the moment. I think he'll have to wait until the summer, unless he decides to go abroad again. I don't know. But he's one of these managers that seems to do well for a certain amount of period. But I think his head's been turned a little bit now by this Everton talk. So I don't know. I think he's always looking for that bigger club for me, and maybe that's what went wrong when in the Everton situation didn't really happen. So I think he might have to wait until the summer now to get another position.
Yeah, completely agree with what you said. Again, I think sort of in terms of Championship sides, obviously Hull would probably obviously wouldn't go back there, you'd think, but Hull would be a team, for example, that I'd love to have him back. And you know, he's it'd be interesting to see down, especially in the Championship. He nearly kept them in the Premier League, but whether he'd sort of be suited to try and keep them in the Championship. You know, it's a completely different league, and would he have sort of the tools at his disposal to sort of keep them up? Another team, and I think if we'd have had this conversation 2 weeks ago and Watford had sacked him 2 weeks ago, I think Sheffield Wednesday would have been almost a perfect fit for him, really. So I'd imagine there's a few Sheffield Wednesday fans that are a little bit sort of gutted to have not been able to get him, or sort of obviously he wasn't available at the time. But I do think, sort of touching on Sheffield Wednesday, their new manager is sort of doing sort of what seems like a good job at the moment. He's not conceded in any of his three games. Know a little bit about him from sort of watching sort of as much Bundesliga as I do. You know, he's been around sort of most teams in Germany, and he's a decent manager. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he's suited and adapts to English football. But I think to go back to Silva, sort of especially Championship sides at the moment, that Sheffield Wednesday would have been quite a good fit for him.
I don't think he fancied the Championship, though, James, myself. That's why he didn't stay with Hull, because Hull had obviously a few quid because they got the parachute payment. I think he thinks it's maybe just beneath him a little bit, really. He's always looking for that. He's always looking for that bigger job, which is why he got sidetracked by the Everton position, which is a massive job, really. Obviously, he missed out on that because Watford were digging their heels in. Allardyce got it, and I think he was gutted about that, to be fair, which will why he maybe took his eyes off the ball a little bit with Watford, and they went through bad results anyway after that. They went through a poor run of form, and I don't think he's ever really recovered from that. And Watford are edging the bets like they do, and getting somebody else in to make sure they stay in the Premier League for next season, and that's worked for them over the last sort of three seasons or so now, where they've actually done that. They've got a new manager in, and he's done the job to keep them there, and that's where they seem to be running the football club at the moment.
Yeah, sort of to go on, obviously, I hadn't planned sort of to get onto this, but to go sort of with what you just said there, that you'd think the Championship might be below him at the moment, is there any sort of young managers in the Championship that you'd sort of see as the next sort of manager to be sort of poached by a Premier League club or step up to the Premier League? Obviously, Carlos Carvajal did it from Sheffield Wednesday, but that was a case of him sort of leaving Sheffield Wednesday and then sort of going on to Swansea. It wasn't a case of sort of one of the bigger teams in the Premier League sort of coming in for him and poaching him. Is there anyone sort of around the Championship at the moment that you'd sort of see as the next kind of manager to be taken by a Premier League team?
Yeah, they don't seem to look in the lower leagues these days, but the Championship is becoming a bit of an old school, really. We've got sort of Warnock at Cardiff, Pulis at Middlesbrough. They seem to sort of go old school with the Championship managers. Mick McCarthy, obviously, at Ipswich as well. It's always awkward for managers to try and make a name for themselves in the Championship, because you always tend to get these Premier League rejects who have been sacked by the Premier clubs, and they're looking for a club maybe that will take them on. Higginbottom's obviously done well at Barnsley. He's a young coach, but I don't think any Premier League club's going to look at him at the moment with the position Barnsley are in the league. But Johnson at Bristol City made a name for himself this season. Maybe he could maybe fancy himself with the a Premier League. And Stoke City seem to fancy Rowett at Derby, but obviously Derby are doing well at the moment. They didn't want to lose him, gave him a new contract. So I think Rowett might have been the closest to get to the Premier League club. But I can't see many other managers in the league really sort of knocking on the door of Premier League clubs at the moment. I think it's much of a muchness sort of coach-wise in the league. You've got Holloway. I wonder about old school managers again. Holloway at QPR. Yap Stam, obviously, he did well last season, but he's not doing too well at Reading this season. He was sort of touted for a big job last season, but he's gone down a bit this season because Reading have been fairly poor. So I don't think there's too many coaches that would be looked at this moment in time for a Premier League club, to be fair.
Yeah, the only one that I can sort of really think of sort of looking at down the table and who manages who is potentially Jukanovic at Fulham. Obviously, he's done sort of quite a good job there to sort of get him back in and around the playoffs. And obviously, ties in quite nicely with Silva, that he's been at Watford before as well. So I'd imagine he's sort of eager to get back into the Premier League, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd imagine he'd love it to be with Fulham. And Russ, who comes on the podcast as well, would also love it to be with Fulham. But I think sort of apart from the ones that you mentioned there, obviously Johnson at Bristol City, I think a few clubs in the summer potentially would be looking at him. Maybe Gary Rowett as well at Derby. I don't think sort of anyone will really go now, especially sort of anyone in sort of the top six or seven teams sort of in the championship. It doesn't really make sense for them to leave, especially sort of nine times out of ten it's to go to a team who's sat the manager in the Premiership. They're going to be sort of down near the bottom of the table, so you suddenly go from a promotion battle to a relegation battle, which, you know, once a team's losing, it's hard to get out of. And if you get that relegation on your CV, it's almost sort of like a sort of a black cross then for certain other jobs. So,
definitely.
You know, I don't think we'll see anyone sort of switching between now and the end of the season. I'd be very surprised if they do. But maybe in the summer, sort of as we've said, a couple of the managers that we've mentioned will be getting looked at by Premier League teams if they can't get their team into the Premier League. But sort of to go on to Fulham, I wanted to just get your thoughts. And they've been sort of similar to you in the sense that over the last couple of years, they've been in and around the playoffs and just missed out. Do you think, sort of looking at the form guide at the moment, they really come from sort of down in mid-table, sort of lower half of mid-table as well? Obviously, fantastic win at home against Burton Albion yesterday. Players like Ryan Sessegnon shining again from, they're getting Tom Kearney back as well now. Do you think that they are sort of primed to go up this season, or would you sort of see any other teams sort of in and around them that would be sort of looking to go past them and break into the playoffs?
Yeah, they've had a few strange results for them this season, but they seem to be getting the game going now a lot quicker than last season. They left it very late for the playoffs last season, sort of sneaked in with a few games to go. This time they seem to be making a bit of an earlier charge for it. But there's so many clubs around them on these similar sort of points. It depends what sort of form they're going now in the next sort of few games. Like you said, they do have some decent players in that team. I don't know if they'll be able to keep hold of Sessegnon. So many clubs are after him at the moment. It makes you wonder if he'll leave now in the next sort of couple of weeks, or will they be able to keep him until the summer? And if they do get promoted to the Premier League, there'll be no need to sell him at all, really. But they have a decent team. When I went back to the time they played us at Elland Road, we held them to a 0-0, but they had a very decent performance that night, and they got some class players in the team. Fredericks at the back as well is a class defender. Kearney came on as a sub yesterday. He's sort of been in and out of the team a bit this season. I think he's been injured a lot of it, so he hasn't been as influential as he usually is, but he's such a class act. There's still talk of him leaving for a Premier League club in the January window as well. And obviously got the old head of McDonald in midfield as well, the ex-Wolves player, who's doing a great job at Fulham. So they have got a decent, overall they've got a decent squad there. But it depends, like us, if they get a good sustained run of form now between now and the end of the season. Like I said, they left it very late last season and seem to be making an early push for top six now. But there's so many games to go now. I think any team that can put 10 to 12 games unbeaten in this league will be doing really well and probably will get into those playoff positions. So it's all to play for. But I know the coach has had a few problems with the hierarchy at Fulham this season, and that seems to have calmed down a little bit now. But he's got a point to prove. He got Watford promoted at the end of the day, but obviously he didn't he didn't go into the Premier League with them. They decided to go with somebody else. So I think he's got a point to prove with Fulham. And I think, yeah, they could be there. Obviously, they will be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they go on in the next few games.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of speaking to Russ, he'd said at the start of the season they were quite unlucky, and there was just sort of a combination of being unlucky with injuries and one or two things not clicking. And it really seems now that they're starting to find their form again, that the start of the season, it was Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday that I tipped as the teams to be in the top two, which sort of just before Christmas was looking highly unlikely. I don't think they'll manage to get into the top two, but I do think that they sort of out of the teams around us at the moment, obviously we're 10th and 11th in the league. I think they're probably in the best run of form at the moment, and they've got, you know, sort of game changers in their squad, people like Sessegnon, for example, so Tom Kearney as well. So sort of keeping hold of Sessegnon over this transfer window in particular, I think, is paramount for them. And if they can keep hold of him and maybe add one or two new players in as well, I think they'll be sort of a real force going into the sort of the latter stages of the season. And, you know, Jukanovic has done a fantastic job there. And I do think, as you said, Kev, it's almost sort of a little bit sort of more for him in the sense that he wants to get promoted again and actually have a fair crack at the Premier League and sort of show Watford what they were sort of missing by not going with him in the Premier League. So I do think that that they'll be sort of there or thereabouts. Obviously, from both of our teams' point of views, you want sort of as many teams as possible to have poor runs of form. So there's a part of me that hopes they don't, but I do think at the moment that they are sort of one of the teams to keep an eye on. Sort of moving on, obviously, you mentioned earlier that, that obviously no game for you next weekend in the FA Cup. Just sort of to go back to the Newport game, was it a case of too many sort of changes and sort of that kind of thing that ultimately led to the defeat? Or was it, you know, just a, sort of a bad day at the office? Sort of what really went wrong in the game?
I think so. A bad day at the office is probably a good one, because I think people overblew the game a little bit. I thought we were fairly comfortable for 75 minutes. Even the commentators were saying our leads are managing the game fairly comfortably. They're slowing things down. Newport really haven't had a decent shot on goal. Lonergan has hardly had a save to make. And things were going okay. We were 1-0 up. We just needed that second goal to kill the game. Never came. Then a dreadful own goal sort of buoyed Newport a little bit and got them back right into the game. And there was only going to be one winner in the last sort of 15 minutes, because they started bombarding us then with crosses and attempts on goal. And lo and behold, they get a last gasp sort of winner as well to sort of rub salt in the wound a little bit. And then we get Saez comes on for the last sort of 10, 15 minutes and gets sent off as well. So it was just a disastrous last 15 minutes. And I thought we were fairly comfortable for 75. So yeah, it's one of those where the underdogs, obviously, they get the rub of the green at the end and ended up getting a nice home tie against Tottenham in the next round. So, yeah, it wasn't as bad as Sutton last season, where we just fielded a team of players that really didn't really know each other that well, I didn't think. And we lost to a penalty, but I think the performance was a lot better than that. But obviously, if we'd have fielded a stronger team, I think we would have won fairly comfortably. But in these games, you know, they don't seem to like to take a chance these days. And concentrating on the league, the old adage. And unfortunately, even the league results have gone a bit pear-shaped since then as well. So maybe there's been a bit of an after effect. But yeah, just a bad day at the office, really. And I think it was overblown a little bit. But that's the way, you know, Leeds United defeats have sort of get reported about it. When Leeds lose, it's the end of the world, basically, especially in West Yorkshire as well.
Yeah, you sort of mentioned in there that the results since have, and we talked about it earlier, sort of tailed off a little bit. You've got sort of a break now. So obviously I won't get you to preview the whole game sort of almost 2 weeks in advance. But is it a case now with over these sort of 10 or so days that you've got sort of the break to sort of almost go back to basics, really get sort of the players regrouped and sort of, if anything, really sort of getting beaten in the FA Cup at Newport has not come at a right time to have this break, but it gives you a chance to have a few days off. You know, the players can clear their heads and then you can go again at Hull, who, you know, have really been struggling sort of for the whole of this season. So it's definitely a good chance to get 3 points on the board. Do you think this sort of little break is going to sort of benefit the team in the long run?
Well, I hope so, because tomorrow morning they're all flying off to Spain for a 5-day sort of bonding session, so that'll do them good for a trip to Hull on the 30th. Nice hot weather in Spain and a cold night in Hull. But yeah, everybody's going to this trip, including Luke Ayling, who's out for the rest of the season because he took a bad injury against Forest and he's obviously can't play now. But you get the feeling that he's going to get everybody together, try and have a bit of a bonding thing going on where, you know, we're going to assess what's gone wrong in the last few games and try and put that right for the last 18 games of the season now. Like I said, there's no cup games to worry about. It's all league games now. So yeah, hopefully by the time they come back on Friday, nicely tanned and everything, they'll be ready for the Hull game on the 30th. And when everybody's bonded, everybody will know each other. We had a new player, a left-back yesterday, De Bock from Bruges. He had a fairly decent game. To say that we lost 3-4, he did really well. We were nice to get a natural left footer on the left-hand side. He did okay. Hopefully this bonding session in Spain will do him good as well. He'll get to know everybody. He'll settle in. And in the meantime, hopefully they'll be looking for maybe, we've got Adam Forshaw in from Middlesbrough as well, who's a decent midfield player. He couldn't play yesterday because he's carrying a slight niggle. But hopefully he'll be ready for the whole game as well, because we're going to be missing Phillips because he got his 10th booking of the season yesterday, so he's going to miss a further two games, which is another disciplinary thing. So we're going to be missing four key players by the time we do play Hull, but hopefully De Bock and Forshaw will settle into the team fairly quickly, and it'll be a case of, you know, getting back on track for that game against Hull on the 30th of January, and hopefully get back to winning ways, because it's a great opportunity against a Hull City team who have been struggling all season. They're just above the relegation zone at the moment. They'll be fighting, obviously, for points, but they lost 1-0 at Sunderland, which, you know, nobody seems to be doing this season, but them and Fulham have lost there now over the last sort of few weeks. So Sunderland are getting their act together a little bit. Hull will be looking around the shoulders, and hopefully they'll, you know, suffer another defeat when we play them soon. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity for everybody to get together, get to know each other, and come back fighting for the last 18 games of the season.
Yeah, and with Preston, we've got an FA Cup game next weekend, so we go over the Pennines, especially for me, living in Manchester, other side of the Pennines, across to Sheffield to play Sheffield United, and there's quite a few Preston fans sort of looking at statistics and that kind of thing on Twitter, and it was quite interesting. The last time we played Sheffield United in the fourth round of the FA Cup, we ended up beating them at Sheffield United where we're playing. Drew Man United in the next round, which, you know, I'd be delighted with again this season to get a big team like that. And that season we ended up winning the playoffs and going up to the Championship. So if history somewhat repeats itself, I'm in for quite an exciting sort of last 4 or 5 months of the season. But sort of as far as the game goes, I think it's almost come at a right time for us. We've had two draws sort of on the bounce. It gives Alex Neil a chance to rest one or two players who, there's been a few players that have looked sort of like they need a rest over the last few weeks. We've got a few new players in, Billy Bowden and Louis Malt, so I'd imagine that both of them would start and get a bit more game time with the rest of the lads as well. So I'd expect us to make a few changes and give a few players a rest as well. Ben Pearson hopefully should be back. It was only a little knock that he had, so I think the Millwall game came a day or two too soon for him, so it was more precautionary than sort of long-term injury that they left him out yesterday. So obviously he should be back, and normally when he's missed a game through injury or suspension, he comes back, and sort of if anyone's listening, sort of looking to place a bet, I think you'd be safe to put Ben Pearson to get booked. He's one of those players who's dead eager to impress, and especially when he's missed a game, first 5-10 minutes he'll probably fly into a tackle and go in the referee's book. So it'll be a good chance for Neil to rotate the squad, and hopefully a few of the players who aren't getting a look in at the moment can come in, put in a good performance, and really stake a claim as well to get into that sort of that League 11. Really, that's been sort of 9 out of 11 players, I'd say, has been quite settled recently. Maxwell, the keeper, who's done fantastically well all season, had a couple of sort of shaky moments over the last couple of weeks, so maybe a bit of a rest for him would do him good and give him a chance to clear his head. So, yeah, I think if I was sort of to predict the game, I'd take a draw, even though it's the FA Cup. I'd take a draw and hopefully beat them back at our place. But, you know, it's the FA Cup. Main focus really is the league this season, although it's nice to have a cup run. So even if we do get beat, Sheffield United's a hard place to go, so it won't be the end of the world. I know there'll be some Preston fans on Twitter will be calling for Alex Neil's head should we get beat, which, you know, is absolutely ridiculous. But in a sense, it's almost a free game for us. You know, as much as I love Preston, we're never going to win the FA Cup. And sort of the FA Cup for us really is about getting sort of a big team home or away and making a bit of money. So, you know, a defeat won't be the end of the world, although it'd be nice to have a bit of a cup run and hopefully get one of the sort of the big boys out of the Premier League this season. So, you know, I can go into the game sort of not worrying about sort of, oh, are we going to slip further away from the playoffs or anything like that. So it'll be a nice change of pace, and I'll be making the trip over. So really looking forward to it next weekend. But with that, we're out of time. Cheers for joining me today, Kev. I know it's been a sort of a lot sort of to pick up after we had connection issues with Rob, so I appreciate you sort of helping me sort of fill the time today. If you want to let anyone know sort of Twitter handles, anything that you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, sure, I've enjoyed it, James, thank you very much. Leeds United Mad, the website, LeedsUnited_Mad on Twitter, and I'll be on Sportsline Leeds tomorrow on Made in Leeds TV, 8 p.m. with a little snippet of my review of the game on Saturday and a little chat about what I think will happen for the remainder of the season. So tune into that as well, and hopefully we'll have a good time when we come back playing football again.
Yeah, and as I said at the start, I'm James Vickers. You can find me on Twitter at @_JamesVickers. I mainly tweet about Preston North End and Bundesliga and German football. So if you're interested in either of those, definitely give me a follow and sort of get involved in the conversation. And you can also find the show on our new Twitter page, which is at Championship Pod, where we have weekly sort of polls, discussions, that kind of thing. So definitely check that out and get involved in that as well. And every show link will be posted on there as well. So definitely give it a follow. But yeah, cheers for joining me today, Kev. It's been a pleasure to have you on as always. And we'll see you next time.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.